Hey guys, it's Marina from Peace Learn Health. Welcome back. I wanted you to educate yourself with me, whether it be spiritually, mindfully, or through wellness. That is why I created this podcast. Please note, podcast disclaimer, any information, statement, opinion, whether it be mine or a guest, please consult your professional advisor or healthcare professional. Thank you, and thank you for tuning in. I am extremely blessed and excited for you guys to get to know this amazing guest, Christine Gutierrez. She is a therapist, a life coach, an expert at love and addiction and trauma and abuse and self-esteem. And she is the author of I Am Diosa, a journal to healing deep, loving yourself, and coming back home to soul. And this is such an amazing book, even though I haven't read it yet. And I only say that because it's about working on yourself. And if you pre-order the book, you get a guided journal, a guided meditation, and some other goodies as well. So I do recommend you guys pre-order it just for that. So please check this book out. It comes out on August 25th. And she also went ahead and recorded the audiobook herself, which I find that so amazing. So please, if you guys want to check out the book, it's based on identifying your emotional wounds, how you can connect the dots to your past emotional pain and trauma to your current patterns and habits. It's also about connecting your self-worth and how you are able to connect into the toxic relationship or learning how to cultivate an actual healthy relationship as well, and identifying the voice of your soul and remembering what you are worth. So please check that book out. It's coming out August 25th. And I'm so excited for you guys to tune into this episode. So without further ado, here we go. I introduce you to our special guest, Christine Gutierrez. Hi, Christine.
Hi.
So today I wanted to ask you, so everyone can know, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I consider myself a therapist and a healer. And for me, really my biggest intention in all the work that I do is to help hold space for people to discover the power that they have within them, the connection to their soul, and being able to help them untangle the webs of their pain, of their trauma, of their shame, of the abuse that maybe they experienced as a child, and really give them practical and spiritual tools to help them to remember their worthiness and to do so in a really grounded way. And, you know, of course, beyond that, I am a Latina woman who is on a mission to help as many people as possible. And I've been doing this work now for about 11 years, and for me, it always feels new. It always feels like a new journey, even though it's been a pretty long time, because I just feel so passionate about this work, right? Like, we need work that allows us to be both human and divine, and I found that so much of the spiritual kind of lexicon out there was too focused on love and light and not enough focused on doing this very necessary shadow work. So I also consider myself a shadow worker.
Great. Thank you so much for sharing that. And you recently wrote a book called I Am Diosa. Can you tell us about that? And as well, what does Diosa mean to you?
Yeah. So I had the honor and privilege of being able to write this book. It's my first book with a publisher. I had wrote a small book with my friend Naya Marro, which is called The Care of Wounded Wings, a guide to soar through life's tough times. And that one's on my website for free as a gift for anyone that's interested in that little kind of sweet little guidebook. And then it inspired me to really put together all the work that I had been doing with my one-on-one clients, with my retreats, with my annual Diosa retreat, which this year will make it 9 years that I've been doing that specific retreat. And then also just my workshops and all the work that I did both online and in person. And I thought I really would love to have this in a more accessible way for people in a book, you know? And so that's how I Am Diosa came about. It was really like this soul guidance to put a retreat into a book. And my retreat is not the light, fluffy, like, spiritually bypassing kind of retreat. It's more about going to the root and the traumas of our pain and our childhood wounds and really untangling what happened to us, how it affects our patterns now, and how it will impact our future. And so all of that went into the writing of this book, I Am Diosa, A Journey to Healing Deep, Loving Yourself, and Coming Back Home to Soul. And the book is published by Tarcher Pereji. It's an imprint of Penguin Random House. So, for me, it was like, how can we best put everything that we do on these more intimate levels in this book? So it's really a journey and a guidebook for people. It's definitely includes a lot of soul work, so you'll need a journal by your side to really go deep and do the work. And it's not a book to be rushed. It definitely has a lot of meat in it and will take people time. But my biggest intention with this book, I always say, even if it helps one person to realize something about themselves and to learn how to take an old trigger and be able to learn some sort of healthier coping skill so that they can make their life a little bit easier, a little bit healthier, then I will be happy and grateful.
Great. So, since you mentioned a little bit about intention and how the book is basically for that, can you also tell us a little bit about who do you hope to reach with that intention?
Yeah, so one thing that I left out that you asked me was the word diosa. And for those of us that speak Spanish, we know that the word diosa means goddess. And so goddess and this kind of initiation into remembering the feminine face of the divine was a big part of my own coming home to myself and remembering my worthiness beyond my abuse. And so when I was initiated in this priestess path and I learned all about the different faces of the goddess, not only from the tantra, Hinduism, the mystical kind of traditions that I came across with Buddhism, different faces of the goddess there, but really encountering even the feminine faces within, religion that had been ignored or had been, kind of marginalized with Virgin Mary or the prostitute, right? It was always this very black and white, or Mary Magdalene, the prostitute. It was always this very black and white kind of vision of the sacred feminine. And so for me, on that journey to remembering and really expanding my knowledge beyond what I was taught, but what I intuitively knew was out there, I knew it when I remember when I came across this work, this goddess work, this Diosa work, I was like, this makes sense, Mother Earth. Mother Gaia, the roots. I knew that that was missing intuitively. And so when I found it, I was like, holy shit, this is what we need. And so, first and foremost, I speak to anyone that identifies as a woman. But really, this work is for anyone that's drawn to this work. And there's something that I say in the book where I talk about how, although I use the pronouns she, and I talk about mainly heterosexual relationships, which is what my clients usually are. This is for everyone. This is for gay, straight, bi, trans, non-binary, right? This is for anyone that is called to do this work of healing their childhood wounds, wanting to connect to their soul deeper, learning new coping skills and patterns, and really learning to embrace the divinity within their humanity. And so, of course, women of color has always been my thing. It's always been my priority, because I am a Latina woman of color, but this is for anyone who finds it.
I love that. And can you actually share with us a little bit of the spiritual connection, of how someone can find that when they go to your retreat. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think, most of the women that are drawn to my retreats are women of color or white women who have gone through some really challenging traumatic events that makes them resonate usually more with the traumatic experiences of the POC communities that we work in. So that's usually my demographic, right? And so on these retreats, a lot of people have already some sense of spirituality, right? But maybe they forgot how to nurture that connection because they've gone through so much shit in their life that they lose their connection to their sense of self. They perhaps are losing their connection to their sense of guidance, spiritual guidance, because they've been ignoring their intuition, right? I believe that most of us have a very strong primal gut instinct, this strong soul voice within us. And then life happens to us, and maybe we overstay our time, right, in a relationship that no longer serves us, or we are constantly ignoring what we know we need to do for ourselves to make ourselves feel good and happy. And then little by little, we start injuring our relationship to ourselves and our intuition, right? And so a lot of this spiritual work is about taking the time to be around like-hearted people who are there to not judge you, to love you, to model what healthy love feels like, and for you to be safe enough for this experience, whether it's a journey in a retreat or whether it's a journey in reading this book, but that you have a moment of stillness where you feel safe enough to look at those places in the timeline of your life that has hurt you and to see how it's affected you, to see, how did that childhood abuse with my mom and my dad or them calling me names injure my sense of self-worth? And how does that show up in my relationships, right? How does that show up in my relationship to self, to others, to work, to money, right? And being able to be with
Be with
because really, I'm hearing myself a little bit, but hopefully you guys won't on your end. But being able to hear yourself in the stillness of your own heart, there's these answers that live there. And so really, I just hold space for people to discover what's already in them. Everyone is their own healer. And in that sense, I consider myself a healer because I hold space for people to activate their own inner healer. And so that work is this sacred journeying. And it's so ancient that all we need to do is take the time to get still, to listen to what's going on, to look at the parts of our life that are not working, and to do so amidst some really loving guidance so that people can remember. And usually what we find is that in doing that, people start to, through breathing, through sharing, through hearing other people's stories and knowing they're not alone, through having these tools and these inquisitive questions that help people ask themselves, what did happen in my life? How is this affecting me? What can I do different, right? That's healthier. And so all of this combined really allows people the opportunity to have a shift, to have a transformation, for them to really start to say, I'm ready to do things differently.
I love that. I love how you said how we ourselves are the healers of our own selves, but obviously we need that guidance. So I love what you just expressed. Can you tell us about your journey writing this book and how your culture impacted it?
Yeah, I love that question. It was definitely quite the journey from the beginning of the book, not only because the first part of the book process for anybody that's interested in eventually writing a book is you write a book proposal. And that basically stands as this outline for your book. And then you get a book agent, and then they, present the book to different publishing houses before you get your book deal, right? So even along that process, it was difficult because life happens, right? And I was going through so many things. I think during that time of writing my proposal, my mentor, who has since passed, she had died during that time. So you can imagine I'm writing this book and I'm writing the proposal at the time. And so I had to go through my own process of mourning, of facing life, of doing all of that and still committing to continuing to do so at a slow and steady pace, right? Like I stopped and I paused and I integrated what I needed to do, and it took a very long time. You know, people don't see all the behind the scenes, right? In social media, we have a very limited perspective of the behind the scenes of what happens spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, you know, et cetera, right? And so that was the first part, right? Was just like dealing with life and then still showing up to do the things you need to do. And then on a practical level, learning how to sit down and write something. And so that was definitely part of that. And for me, being my culture, being Latina, identifying as being this, you know, Puerto Rican woman, we have three different bloodlines that go through our lineage, right? We have the indigenous Taino, we have our the Spaniard, and we have our African roots. We have all three. And for me, being Latina was always something I repped hard. You know, I grew up in Brooklyn, I grew up in then in Queens, in New York, and then now I live in Puerto Rico. But I always felt this need to really rep my roots, because in my family, I had a lot of what I call survival, right? Like there was a lot of survival around pushing aside some parts of our culture without even meaning to, because they wanted to be accepted by the white majority, right? And I knew from a very early age that I had to reclaim a lot of those lost parts. And of course, we still are, and I still am reclaiming a lot of lost parts. And so being able to write this book, being published by a mainstream publisher in a market, right, personal development that was mostly written by white men and then by white women was really emotional for me. And I think probably one of the things that I'm most proud of myself for is that I'll be able to hopefully, prayfully, be an example for people to say, I can see myself in this person as a Latina woman or a woman of color, right? And I pray that I help to continue to open the doors for other Latina, Black, Indigenous, you know, POC communities to be able to share their voices, because I really do believe that representation matters. So for me, that was in the back of my mind this whole time, was like, holy shit, what a privilege and honor to be able to be there and to be a voice as a Latina woman in this field.
I love that. I definitely do connect with you as far as that goes. Just growing up in that, you know, society of knowing that, you know, Latina women are seen in a different, you know, aspect of life. So thank you for sharing that. So congratulations, your book came to number one in self-esteem. So
Yeah.
can you tell us how that feels as a therapist?
Well, for me, I've always been the kind of person, and I kind of hint at that in the book, where with my career and my dharma, my soul's work, right? I always felt connected to helping and healing. And I had this really beautiful balance between wanting big things but being surrendered and unfazed by them. And what I mean by that is that there's a balance between, like, you know, one way to say it is like people that don't let things get to their head, right? You stay grounded. But also, there's something very deeply spiritual about that, where it's like you can have dreams and goals, but being surrendered to whatever way the divine wants them to come manifest in your life, right? And so, fortunately, in my career, I had that balance of like, I want this dream to come true, because it was very service-based. It was very based on how can I help more people? How can I be an example? How can, you know, other Latino, Black, Indigenous, POC women get the opportunity to write books? There was always this like passion that was very service-based. So it made it easy for me to want big dreams, but also be like, okay, cool if it doesn't happen, but I hope it happens, but I'm cool if it doesn't happen, because my sense of worth doesn't come from that, right? So am I grateful? Of course. Am I so humbled by the response of love? Because love is what made this happen. Community is what made this happen, right? Being able to have all of these beautiful people that I've worked with or that have seen me share my heart online, we come together as this family. And also, for sure, the Latina community coming through hard and being like, she's one of us, and I'm so excited to support. And my POC community, right? Just having this love. For me, that was like, wow, like I am so humbled because I've always done retreats and small workshops, but I've never, asked for something. I was never the kind of person that was selling out thousands in like a conference or something. So everything was pretty small and intimate, right? And so seeing this be more of a flow of like more people than what I'm used to, like me asking or sharing and people showing up was like, wow, oh my God. Like I just couldn't believe it. And I was so happy. And it was my husband that actually saw it go to number one. And I had kind of surrendered that it wasn't going to go to number one. Cause there's like 8 million books on Amazon, and it went number one in the new releases, to be specific, in the three categories that I was in. And at one point it went to like 600 and something, like in all the books. And I was like, oh my gosh, how cool is that? That people believe, love, and support me enough to do that. So for me, it was more focused on the love of community and how powerful we are when we come together. And as a therapist, being able to merge spirituality and modern therapy is really important for me because I consider myself a spiritual therapist. The two for me go hand in hand. And so yeah, I'm just super stoked and nervous, excited, all of the things.
Well, Christine, you definitely deserve that. So, can you share a little bit more, for those who don't know about you, what you do as a therapist?
So I did my undergraduate degree, and then I went on, I took off a year and I began studying kind of these more ancient wisdom techniques that I talk about, including meditation. And at the time I studied Reiki. I no longer practice Reiki, but instead just channel direct energy from source, Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it. But essentially I started to study spirituality in a different way than the clinical studies I had learned. And then I went on to go back and get my master's and became a licensed therapist, right? And so for me, I always saw that there was this bridge between the spiritual and the psychological. For me, they were so together. There was nothing separate about them. And I didn't know it, but the word psychology means the study of the soul, not the study of the mind, but the study of the soul. And so being able to know that, I started to realize that really what I do as a therapist is the same that we've seen shamans do, which is be a bridge for people in this human world to connect to their spirit, their soul, and collect the lost pieces of their spirit that they've lost in trauma, that they've lost in abuse, that they've lost in moments where they've disconnected. And so for me, the two go hand in hand. And I think that because of being colonized, right, even therapy has been colonized. And, I am going to be spending more time on studying how I can learn to decolonize therapy and look at the ways that I can gain insight and information because so much of the books that we learn from is created by, white men that we learn from. And some of the things stand as valid, and some of them don't, right? So, especially with everything going on with Black Lives Matter and this movement, it's really encouraged me to go deeper so that we can make sure that we're making things safe for everyone, including, most importantly, right, the people that have been marginalized, like Black, Indigenous, Latino people. And so, with therapy, that is what I do, right, is hold a space for people to tell their story, be able to unpack their story, be able to understand how their past affects their present and what tools I can teach them so that they can better handle their emotions, not by spiritually bypassing them and saying that they need to be happy all the time, but on the contrary, by helping them to accept who they are, right? Accept the realities of life, because life still happens, and be able to learn to cope with all of their emotions. And so I think that that's something that is different about this book in the sense that I really try to stress to people that this isn't about escaping life, because life is real, racism is real, mental health illness is real, but it's instead about facing it as best as we can with the tools that we can, so that we can learn coping skills so that we can take care of ourselves better. And so that is a piece of what I do as a therapist, and specifically as a spiritual soul therapist.
I love that. So thank you so much for sharing that. So since you're a spiritual therapist, can you share how you found yourself spiritually?
Yeah, for me, my connection with my spirituality means that I'm never alone. For me, it goes beyond words. It's like an ever-loving, infinite, limitless energy that has always been and will always be. It is the trees. It's all of the elements: fire, earth, water, air. It's the feeling when you look someone in the eyes and get lost in love, because you go beyond this dimension, right? For me, spirituality can be singing, it can be dancing, it can be making love, it can be having a moment where you remember that you are part of the intricate and beautiful mystery of life, right? So for me, I am not a religious person. I don't tie myself to any dogmas, but I'm a spiritual person. And I feel that I always have been. Ever since a little girl, I was always obsessed with connecting to spirituality, and I knew, like, even from a young age, I went to Catholic school my whole life, even went to Jesuit college for my undergrad, but I never was okay with the fact that, people would say things about religion, and if you only accept, this person as your Lord and Savior. Like, for me, I knew intuitively that if a child was born in another country and he didn't know of the same religion that I knew, that how could he be punished for that? How could he not be a chosen child of God? I knew that we were all children of God, and that I felt that that on a deep level, right, love and unity was what spirituality really should be about. And so, intuitively, as a child, I think I just kept following that call and taking time to pray and meditate. And I honor all religions. I think there's something beautiful about them all. And really, for me, it's about having a personal relationship with the divine, having a personal relationship, having conversations, being able to really connect in whatever way makes me feel closer to my highest self, to my best self, and knowing that I'm not in control, right? The divine is. And so there's this humbleness that comes with this sort of spirituality, where it's like I'm small in the infinite vastness of the universe, and I am guided, and I'm guided. And so I don't do anything, but the divine works through me to do the things. Or I am, connecting to this power greater than me that lets me know that I'm protected and I'm guided, and we all have this spiritual connection if we want to. And so for different people, it's going to look different. For some people, it's just going to look like connecting to nature. For some people, it's going to look like going to church. For some people, it's going to look like journaling. But whatever it is that it makes you be a better person, a happier person, a kinder person, a less judgmental person, those are kind of my spiritual rules that allow us to know that, you're stepping into something good and healthy, not only for you, but for others.
I love that. I could definitely relate as far as that goes. Just because I started off with meditation and it became something that I went ahead and looked further than just meditation, and that's why I'm here today. So, thank you for sharing that. So, can you tell us for your Latino community and so much more, what has empowered you and what empowering words would you like to tell your Diosa tribe and everybody who's listening?
Yeah, for me, the most important thing is to be able to know that A, you're not alone, that B, we don't have to be perfect on this journey, and that if you've gone through a lot of shit in your life, be so compassionate and gentle with yourself. The path to healing is never linear. It's always ups and downs and twists and turns, and it's repetitive, and it's boring sometimes. And so it's annoying and frustrating and challenging. But as long as you remember even if there's a tiny, tiny little spark in you that's like, I want to make a change, no matter how grueling it may be, trust that inner voice that's guiding you, saying, there's more than this. You can do this. You will be guided by spiritual support and by human support, right? Like, get therapy, get help, get support. We don't have to do this alone. And being able to know that life is difficult and challenging for people all around the world in many different ways. And so really honor your story, your experience, validate yourself, validate what you've gone through. And if you've been in this spiritual world for a while and you've read books or you've read things that have made you feel worse because it was trying to tell you, like, you should be happy or you're attracting this to yourself, which I think is a whole bunch of bullshit. Like, yes, our energy does bring things to us, right? Yes, there's a truth to our energetic vibration, but we don't create, we're not that powerful that we're creating everything in the world. There's, systemic injustice and racism and abuse and injustice that should never have happened, right? And so what I tell my Diosa tribe and my community is, let's focus on how we can, in a grounded way, right, use spiritual and psychological tools to really help heal us and to help heal the world, because that's the true medicine, right? And we're living in revolutionary times. We're living in times where the shadows are coming to the surface. If we're doing this spiritual work, let it be not just for your own internal freedom, but for the freedom of all those people that are marginalized, that are abused right now in the world, right? Because as we take the time to heal our inner world for real, right, we can show up as stronger stewards of love in the world that are not like, sharing love and light bullshit and ignoring the very real realities of life, right? So if you're someone that loves my work and follows my work, or that is new to my work, the most important thing I would say is that do your shadow work. Face the shadows, face the wounds, do it in a way that makes you feel loved and supported. Get therapy, get that support around you that you need. And know that by you doing this, you're going to access sustainable light, not just a light that comes like a quick hit and a quick fix, but a light that comes from the depths of you because you've done the hard soul work necessary to face the real things. And that's the best, just keeping it real, keeping it raw, keeping it grounded. I think that's the best kind of advice I could give you. And know that it's always, always worth it. This work is always worth it.
Yeah, and definitely, like you mentioned earlier, just having a community is very important as well. So thank you for also sharing that. And so can you tell us any place people can find you, or if there's any new projects to look out for, or something that you would like to tell our listeners?
Sure. You can find out all the information about me on my website. We just got a pretty a new rebrand and colors that really fit the soul of our work. So I'm really excited about that. And it's ChristineG.tv. And then I'm pretty active on Instagram at Cosmic Christine. And you can find me on Facebook too, Christine Gutierrez. I have a retreat that is going to be, rescheduled, the Diosa retreat. We have it rescheduled for October. It was supposed to happen in July, but because of COVID, we're just kind of playing it by ear. But if you're interested in that and want to sign up, and of course, we're going to keep health first and foremost in mind. So we'll be flexible with what life gives us. But if you're interested in that and just getting on the waiting list, or finding out more about that for when it does happen, that's a really powerful in-person retreat. And then I'm going to be launching, another kind of community online since we're in these times. So you can stay tuned for that on my website. But everything I do is on there. I have a wonderful self-study course called Healing Love Addiction. If you're in the pits of love addiction and fucked up relationships and are needing help getting out of those codependent patterns, that's something there for you. And then, of course, my book, if you pre-order it now, if you're listening to this before August 25th, 2020, you can get access to some really beautiful gifts, meditation, a digital journal, and a activate your inner diosa ritual that you get for free when you pre-order the book, hardcover or audio. And that's all on my website as well.
Great. And the last question that I would like to ask that I ask all of my special guests is, what does peace, learn, health mean to you?
What does peace, learn, health mean to me?
Yes.
For me, it means that in order to access our peace and access our health, we need to learn about ourselves, learn about the things that work for us and don't work for us, and commit to a life of being a student, of learning, so that we can access our health and our peace.
Lovely, Christine. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Such an honor. Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in, guys. If you like my podcast, please rate it at ratemypodcast/peacelearnhealth. Also, please note, podcast disclaimer, any information, statement, opinions, whether it be mine or my guests, please consult your healthcare provider or professional advisor. Thank you.